Disney fans were thrilled last week to learn that 19-year-old singer Halle Bailey was cast as Ariel in a live-action remake of Disney's The Little Mermaid. The hashtag NotMyAriel soon swelled up from the deep, with racists complaining about Disney casting a black performer in the iconic role. Many fretted the new mermaid wouldn't have red hair. What ginger nonsense is this?
Well, get over it, because almost everyone is on board or under the sea with it. Jodie Benson, the woman who voiced Ariel in Disney's animated film, spoke out in support. And even Halle Berry, who we hope gets a spot in the flick, is giving it fins up.
Today, the merman of the Ethel variety, the hilarious Matt Brown, joins us to dive deep, deep into the controversy over Disney's casting a melanin-rich woman as the Little Mermaid, and how Hans Christian Andersen, the story's original author, wrote it as a personal, grisly, queer tale of the fish that got away.
Plus, musician Casey Spooner from Fisher Spooner, yes, you thought we were done with fish jokes, announces he's running for president of the United States. First stop on the campaign trail, a prison-themed circuit party.
And a look at the curious world of muscle worship fetish videos. Fetish, not fish.
Almost got you there.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Fausto can't tell the difference between Iggy Azalea, Azalea Banks, Selena Gomez.
Hold on a second. Wait. Okay, so man knows nothing.
No,
he doesn't. I know who Selena Gomez is because she's Latina.
So you know one out of six.
Right? Yeah, all the other ladies. I know who Cardi B is.
Okay, so that's two Latinas out of seven or whatever.
If you're Latina and you're a pop star, I know who you are. Otherwise, I don't give a fuck.
Well, I mean, take care of your own. Take care of your own. Because, like, I know what all of their faces look like, but as far as what they sound like, I have no idea. Like, a Selena Gomez song and a Lana Del Rey song might be the same thing as far as my ass is considered. Like, I'm more updated on, like, Bette Midler's greatest hits. Like, I'm an old wine. Okay, I've been in the basement for a while, and now that I'm up, I want to talk about things from my time.
And the reason we're talking about this right now, dear listeners, is because we started talking about the casting of Little Mermaid with Matt Brown, the amazing Matt Brown,
the merman himself,
the merwoman,
not so little mermaid himself,
the 6 foot tall merman coming towards you. because we had to.
Well, because people are like, Halle Berry, she was terrible in Catwoman,
and it's like, wrong girl. Mm-hmm. Wrong black girl. Mm-hmm. Try again.
But Halle Berry actually said she supports Halle Bailey in The Little Mermaid.
Well, why wouldn't she? What's she going to come out and be like, no, you can't have it?
Yeah, and then also, what's Halle Berry going to be like, well, I'm 53, and I think I was up to play for that teenager. Like, what's she going to do? Like, they're taking it right out of my hands.
She still looks good, though.
She looks amazing, but, like, I love how she gets older. Her wigs get, like, just crackier and crackier. Because, like, she'll go from, like, full-on afro to, like, natural perm slip back and then like a ponytail all in 1 week, and it's like, are you having a personality disorder? Like, what's going on?
I need details. She's named after a department store that we used to have in my hometown.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that.
And the news.
She's probably conceived in the clearance rack.
The weather lady in our hometown, her clothes all came from Hallie's, so it was all supported by Hallie's. Mm-hmm. And rumor was that the weather lady was in bed with the mayor, and the mayor's wife came home and broke her arm.
I love that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Halle Berry, the 53-year-old actress playing the Little Mermaid. It didn't stop Diana Ross in The Wiz.
Okay, true, because at that point in time, she was a good 37.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was really, like, she already had 5 kids and a C-section scar, and she's like, I want to learn how to read. Like, it was a fun time. But that, oh my God, that movie, The Wiz, like, when I saw that in daycare when I was 4 years old, I remember, like, I wouldn't let my mom pick me up from daycare because I knew Diana Ross was my biological mother. Like, I knew she was going to come back for me. We were going to go to New York, and we were going to see Richard Pryor and Michael Jackson. I already had the plans figured out. Oh, yeah.
Michael Jackson would have loved you.
Oh, right when I was right his type then. I don't want to say his age, just his type.
Mm-hmm. Matt, are you saying that you were born in the wrong uterus?
I was born in the wrong uterus, wrong century, wrong everything, honestly.
Look at this skin. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my features are sweet? Wouldn't you think I'm a merman who's got melanin?
melanin.
Possibly. But I just have scales. So, yeah.
Just a cream for that.
Just dead scaly skin.
And you
skin.
Spit out venom, right? Mermaids, up until Disney recast them, were sort of dangerous creatures. And Peter Pan, the mermaids could not be trusted.
Well, I didn't know about the venom thing. Did you know about that?
I did not know about
the Fiji venom. Mermaid, P.T. Barnum. Go Google that. She is not a pretty lady.
Okay, that's really cool, because my conception of mermaids, like outside of Little Mermaid, was like, you know, the old myths about the Loreleis, who are like, you know, these mythic sea women who would like lay on the rocks and then they'd sing and then they'd make the ships crash because they hate men.
Yeah.
And that's also how you say it in Spanish, La Sirena.
La Sirena. Yes. And I think, you know, but I'm excited about. And today we're going to talk about all this.
Oh, yes.
Disney recasting The Little Mermaid. And I'm noticing with their, in quotations, live action, because like The Lion King is CGI live action, is that they're trying to sort of improve on their popular films and franchises. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of really cool, twisted, dark shit about mermaids that isn't explored in the original Little Mermaid that could be brought up in this new film and actually make it even a more incredible film that it is.
Well, the mermaids are supposedly, they would lure the sailors into the sea, right? They'd be like, these beautiful women, come in and swim with me. And then they would take them into the bottom of the ocean and basically drown them. So you're hoping that she'll just like drown Eric?
That's well, gonna be a short movie. Let's clarify something. What? It is an interracial, I'm hoping this is an interracial love story of mermaid and human, you know, and man on land, but also, you know, an allegory to the fat forbidden love.
I don't know who's playing Eric, but like if it's going to be interracial, like I have a lot of problems with the whole, because I see it on like a lot of different shows. There's this one show, I can't even remember the name of it right now, but it's new on Netflix. There's like this black Dominican girl, she's like a witch, she goes back in time, whatever. All the storylines about like black women front and center, they always have a white male love interest that they're always like saving from himself, or like they're always chasing his ass. And it's like, of course, interracial love is amazing. It's how I got here. But like, we don't always need to have like a white person does not always need to be, if they can't be front center, don't always have to be right next to it. Like, we don't always need to be looking for like, okay, well, how can we make this about Ted? Like, that does not, I don't really think that's a goal, but we keep doing it.
Well, part of me is interested in seeing how, you know, the stranger in the strange land and how the Little Mermaid was a rebel to other mermaids. And she was kind of rejected in the original film and in the story. She's sort of at odds with the world around her. And then when she tries to fit into the world of humanity, she's also struggling there. And in the original Hans Christian Andersen story, it doesn't go so well for her.
No, not at all.
And at the very end, she cries so much in sadness that she dissolves into sea foam.
Well, it's because the sea witch had told her that the mermaids have no soul, right?
Oh, and so she was Ginger in the movie, too. In the book, and in all parts. Consistency. Ariel's going to be wearing a red wig every time. Yes, I love that.
And so they have no soul, and so they become like sea foam. But they said, like, if you help humanity out for like 300 years, I guess it's sea foam or something like that, then you'll get a soul and you can come back.
Listen, no human dick's worth all that, okay? Stick with
I've had some good dick, though.
Enough to be in servitude for 300 years. Do you want to be indentured to anyone, anything, or any ball sack? I ask you.
You know, I know some gay men.
Do you get dick at the end of the 300 years? The answer is yes.
I hate you.
I know some gay men that will kill their mother for some good dick.
Well, yeah, but they never liked that bitch anyway, because they wanted to get to their dad.
She had it coming.
Dick will make you slap someone, it'll also turn you into sea foam.
It will. Mm-hmm. It really will.
But Hans Christian Andersen, it turns out, of all people, Kinsey found his documents.
Well, the biographies already knew that this guy was like at least bisexual, because he wrote love letters to this guy, and they actually say that he wrote The Little Mermaid when his friend Edvard Collin, who he had expressed a deep emotional affection for, he would write him letters and say things like this to him, like, I languish for you as for a pretty Calabrian wench. My sentiments for you are those of a woman. The femininity of my nature and our friendship must remain a mystery. But the guy was just like, who he fell in love with, he was like, dude, no.
And so, I don't swing that way.
And so when he went off and got married, Hans Christian Andersen went off and he wrote The Little Mermaid, because it was like his story of like falling in love with this guy, but he's not going to fit in. And, you know, the mermaid loses her voice because like he's like, how the hell is he going to say out loud to anyone like, I love you?
Yeah.
You know? And so he did actually write the guy even more letters, but he didn't even publish them. And so when they were going over his biographies, Dr. Kinsey from the Kinsey Institute looked over them and was like, yep, he's gay or bisexual.
Yeah.
Now, the biographers also say that he was a chronic masturbator.
We've been there. We've been there.
But he was also, he may have been asexual, and that he did not have sexual intercourse, because that would have been against like his moral code or something like that. But I'm like, come on, dude, it's the 1800s. I would imagine that a lot of guys, because there wasn't really a lot of anti-gay sex, people just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
It's just something you did.
Basically, you know? I mean, Walt Whitman had like a bunch of 13-year-olds back in 1812 or whatever. Like, everyone's got a fucking story. All the shit now, we have names for it, and everything's like all fancy, so that way you can label it and hate them. Mm-hmm. But back then, nobody knew nothing. Like, fucking a dude was just as bad as fucking, like, I don't know, one of your farm cows. Like, it was just wrong, and try not to repeat it in public.
The thing is, though, that people didn't even talk about it, though. It's not like you went to the sermon and the guy talked against about gay people, because they didn't even have the word gay people. Homosexual wasn't even used to refer to, like, gay sex until, like, 1875 or some crazy year like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, in most other languages, the way you say gay 100 years ago was just pipe fitter. Like, you just figure it out. You'd figure it out.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's really exciting to give Disney the room to, one, cast an amazing singer.
Because you need a voice on that.
Hermione didn't, you know, she needed a lot of auto-tuning. And
she had star power, but she didn't have the music, you know, the chops.
And
for
the
it.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And so hopefully, and I actually went in very skeptical seeing Will Smith carry the role of the genie in Aladdin. I love the actors who've portrayed the genie in the Broadway productions, and I wanted a thick, gay, juicy black man playing that role, and you gave it to Will Smith.
I want to fantasize about Will Smith being a thick, juicy, gay black man for about 45 minutes, and then anything else is possible afterwards. God, I would fuck him, his wife, both those kids. Like, honestly, the entire family can run a train through me throughout Calabasas. I don't care.
But Will Smith did a great job, and there was a little bit. Yeah, they had him, like, you know, it was his face on this big, giant muscle body at one point in time, and you're like, ooh, Will.
Yeah, I mean, to remember, he used to rap.
And he gets up and Dragon, he pays tribute to the sort of the gender fluidity and comedic fluidity of Robin Williams' character.
Is being a genie gender fluid? I mean, just
a genie can be anything.
Yeah, you're a puff of smoke.
No one in any of these Disney films has parts below the fucking belly button. Ariel's got no fucking vagina. Genies down here could have anything.
In the remake, the genie grows a penis and has kids with this lady.
Oh, that's cute.
So at the very end, they're like,
you're a man now.
I'm a man in every sense of the word.
Basically.
Oh, baby. We're going to sail the... we're going to make some sea foam inside you.
I love how you're trying to sound like a straight guy sounds like an impression of John Travolta trying to not sound gay. And I'm just like all over the layers of failure. Like, I'm in love with it.
I thought it was Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah, that's how it's on.
Dickory Dickory Dot. This bitch was sucking my cack. Oh my
god. Dickory Dickory Dot.
The Dice Man cometh. The Dice Man cometh.
He's still doing comedy.
Yes, yes. He and Roseanne are fully going on tour, like, to do theaters this summer. It's wild.
I'm not going, but, you know, more power to you.
I would definitely go to see them if I didn't think I'd get murdered in line. Because their fans would fuck me up. I like them.
If you just wore a MAGA hat, everybody would be like, hey, or, cool.
Oh, what if I wore,
he's
like,
one of the good ones.
What if I wore the Kathy Griffin mask and I'm just like, there is Donald Trump and ketchup? That would be fabulous. Ah, they would love me.
So what do you guys, why do you think, I mean, besides racism, which is a simplification, why so much passion and anger? I mean, there's kids in concentration camps right now. There's so much racism. Police violence is still on the rise against African Americans. Why do people give a fuck about who is or isn't playing Ariel in Disney?
Because Disney made it this way. Because you have to realize we have like a 70-year tradition of all these films being ingrained into all of us as a part of our American identity, as a part of like our childhood, as a part of our social identity, and specifically for little girls about like being a woman and being a girl and like modeling of that and all that sort of stuff. It's ingrained in like your childhoodness and everything that comes out of that. Everyone has their favorite Disney movie. Everyone has their favorite thing. And so when you tell a 42-year-old white woman that the Ariel that she fell in love with in, I don't know, fucking Manhattan, Kansas in 1991 or whatever when she was 10, when you tell her now that Ariel's black, it's it's like you took her childhood away from her. It's like you took like that whole conception of like what she saw as like that big chunk of who she is. It's just like, oh, I don't get that anymore. She's or like, oh, that's now? Changing now. Yeah, she could pull a Rachel. She could do that. So like, that's the only area where it's like, okay, I can kind of understand it. But then to go to the memesphere and put the chicken legs in the cleavage and to make her teeth all fucked up and to do those awful memes. Mm-hmm. It's just like, now this is about racism and now this is a denigrating image of black people. And it's not personal and it's not about your childhood anymore.
Well, American pop culture is so close to people's hearts that
big time.
Anytime, you know, like when the Fantastic Four made the Human Torch, a black actor, MJ, was cast with Zendaya. Mm-hmm. And with Ariel, what was the name of the black actor in Star Wars?
James Earl Jones.
No, the other one.
The new one?
Billy D. Williams. Not
Billy D. Williams from
Samuel
the
80s. Jackson. Not Ahmed Best. But John Boyega, when he was announced as a stormtrooper, it really pissed off a lot of racist people because they think of stormtroopers as white.
White on the outside, white on the inside, yeah. Right?
And they were like, "This, no possible a brother be a, you know, a stormtrooper."
Well, what I can't understand is that when you're adapting something from an already existing story, mm-hmm. it's not an original story mm-hmm. that came out of someone's life. Okay, if we can understand that The Little Mermaid has existed for 200 years and it exists in English and Spanish and in French and in Czech, there's literally a Czech operatic adaptation mm-hmm. of The Little Mermaid story written by Dvorak.
Can you sing a little bit of it?
Zazviet mordodolika. I'm done and tired and smoking, as you can hear. the texture on the G's. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, if you guys were wondering like how black Matt is, he does smoke cool cigarettes.
Oh yeah, greens and blues. We were mm-hmm. trying to get cancer fast.
Don't you drink also that what is that liquor that black people like?
Hennessy. I have not had Hennessy, actually.
I've never had Hennessy in my
of
entire life.
You have.
You've been married to a white man for 20 years. Why would you? But
I've had Hennessy and Coke.
Oh, I'm proud of you. Proud of you. Which Coke we'll never know. Mm. But like, if
I got like when we did that cookie with drag queens with Bob the drag queen,
yes.
We had Bob had been joking about forcing white people to drink grape soda or something like, you know. And so we were like, well, let's make
and a... She doesn't drink.
Yeah.
Alcohol.
And so we made a grape soda, like a non-alcoholic cocktail with grape soda and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she... And that, like, was so controversial.
And she wasn't having it.
Yeah, like, and I was just like, you're the one who wanted to brought it up. You're the one who wanted us to do it, you know?
Yeah, and you're like, my husband's white and I look white. Let's drink this grape soda, bitch. Like, let's do it.
And grape soda's delicious.
There you go.
It's not my... It's probably number 7 or 8 on the list.
You have to get the Crush brand grape soda is the only one worth going to. Okay.
What's the most delicious soda that's popular with marginalized people in the United States?
Well, I would say the most popular soda that's popular with marginalized people in the United States would be knee highs, because every mm-hmm. fucking rural Illinois, like white trash, like I dropped out when I was 15 because my daughter turned 12. Like all those guys, they mm-hmm. love knee high. Mm-hmm. They love knee high.
Well, you know, Jarritos, that's very popular with mm-hmm. people, folks in the South and in Texas. Is like, and they charge
it's
you
Mexican,
a lot
more. Right?
It's basically a Mexican branded soda. You know, mm-hmm. but one thing that's really popular with people in the Midwest is Green River Soda. Have you ever seen that?
Yes, the green soda. Yeah,
what the hell is that?
It's literally it's like green sugar. Like honestly, it's like imagine it's all the lime of like 7-Eleven of 7-Up. It's like a lemon lime soda, yeah. But it's way straighter sugar. Mm-hmm. It's like it's not for people who want to live a long time or like have families they want to stick around for. Yeah. But it's a great drink.
If you're dying to get diabetes, it's mm-hmm. your go-to drink.
If you feel like 10 toes is too much. Like, if you like odd numbers and you're trying to lose one, I would really recommend some Green River Soda.
I'm noticing there's a trend in terms of, like, you know, sodas that are popularized with marginalized communities tend to be very high in sugar.
Well, yeah, because that's what they sell us. Because, once again, we're supposed to die because they got to make room for land development.
For your auntie diabetes.
Basically. But, like, I mean, you can look at it like it's a weird sort of sociological accident. Or you can look at it of, we acknowledge that food deserts exist. We acknowledge that in the city of Chicago and other major cities, housing projects, low-income schools and things like that get replaced to gentrify neighborhoods. They're trying to give you cancer water so you're dead by the time you're 50. Mm-hmm. They don't care. And they want you to have kids when you're 15, too, so that way you can't think about going to no damn school. It's all connected.
It's part of it is just like creating a system where you know, marginalized people serve the greater good of keeping wealthy people wealthy.
That is the most American thing in the world, to make oppression self-continuing. Mm-hmm. You see, because it's not enough to just be racist against black people or just to have employment discrimination for transgender people. Mm-hmm. You have to include things like passing privilege that then get trans people pushed up against one another, so that way there's a hierarchy inside. You create things like a one-drop rule and like colorism, so that way there's a hierarchy inside a black group or a Latin group or an Asian crew.
Amen, sister.
Mm-hmm. They do. They want us to do the work for them so they can sit back and collect the checks, so they don't even have to ring the necks.
Yeah, part of the is issue.
Is that like a poem or something?
No, this just is my sociology degree talking right now.
I do like that. You should put that in a rap.
Mm. Oh, yeah, great. Now I got a rap down. Childish Gambino. I do comedy. I rap. Great. I have natural hair. I got everything.
You got a merch line, too.
Oh, yeah. I got Adidas shoes, and the commercials are with Monique. Oh, have you seen those YouTube videos, guys?
Which one?
No.
Childish Gambino came out with, like, these shoes for Adidas, mm-hmm. and they're, like, the ads for him. It's him and Monique, and, mm-hmm. like, they're all improvised. They're not, like, really set up that well, okay. but they're just, like, these scenes. Like, she'll be yelling at him like she's his auntie, and then one of them, she's his mom, and then the other one, there are kids around, and it's just, like, the shoes are always like a focal point, but okay. it's like she's making fun of him for wearing them dusty ass shoes. Oh, that's what they're going to call, you know, a DW for a dusty wig or something like that. Like, you know,
I adore Monique. We actually talked to her on the podcast and she gave us like a full hour. It was amazing. Will talk to,
she's one of those women who will give anybody her
that's
time.
That's not what she said. She said, I love you guys so much that I'm going to give you
my loves.
Only you. Mm-hmm. She was very specific. You know how I won her over?
How?
So we were hosting.
You told me you used to blow her husband?
No.
Because he looks like he plays. He looks like he plays.
We were introduced her, actually, at the Milwaukee Pride Fest.
Oh, yes.
And afterwards, we were hanging out with her. And her security guard and all these fans were around her. And I just asked her if we could pose for a photo where we recreated a scene from Precious where she chokes her daughter.
And so she's like, I'll choke your white ass anytime,
she
baby.
She was like, let me put my fingers around your neck. So her bodyguard is kind of panicking because he doesn't know. He's thinking,
know what to do.
Yeah, I'm supposed to protect Monique, but she's attacking somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
This can go horribly wrong really fast. So the bodyguard, and mm-hmm. you can see in the photo, he's like, what's going on here?
It's like that old Kathy Griffin joke, because mm-hmm. she used to say Whitney Houston didn't have bodyguards for protection. The bodyguards watch Whitney kill people. That's like... That's what Monique's bodyguards are there for. She's there to fuck him up. And since you guys have met her and seen her up close, I want to make a point of this because I feel like no one ever talks about this when they mention her. Monique is fucking gorgeous. Just like the skin on her face and on her body. Just look, the features. That is a stunning woman.
I think that's a given.
But people don't bring it up.
She looks kind of dumpy and precious. Remember her.
Yeah, and they also remember her as being a lot bigger when she was on that sitcom from before.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
That's the thing about like Precious is you had all these A-list stars looking really fucked up.
Mariah Carey had a mustache. Oh my gosh, she had the unibrow in. She literally, I saw this interview on YouTube where she's like, Lee, you're not going to make me sit in fluorescent lighting. Like she got her full white woman voice on. She was like, not the fluorescent. Like she was doing everything she could. Oh, I love when pretty people choose to be ugly. It's so much fun because being pretty is easy. Like, I don't know, like limp a little bit and show me you're real.
Before we move on to talking about other things in terms of the Little Mermaid, you know,
oh, yes.
Is there something that like we're missing out on here? Is this just like a little bit of agitated pre-film publicity?
I don't think it's pre-filmed. I think it's genuine from the people that it's coming from. But to those same people, it's like...
I'm sure Disney's very happy.
Oh, totally.
About it. They just re-released their Mickey, Donald, and Goofy cartoons designed to look more like Ralph Bashke, Ren and Stimpy cartoons with really grotesque features.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
kind of disturbing plot lines. Basically, Goofy dies in the very beginning of the cartoon. And Mickey... And Donald spend the rest of the cartoon trying to put his body back together, and it's like zombie Goofy and he's
slash where the red fern grows when the mom tries to sew the dog back together.
Oh yeah. Yes. So it's really fucking twisted, and I really do like the direction they're going.
You know, the thing that this whole controversy with Ariel too in the casting is like my favorite part is the racist backtracking, and they're like, it's not about being black, it's the red hair. So many of them were like focusing. He's like, they're gonna change change her hair. Mm-hmm. Her hair's not going to be red. I'm like, just because she's black doesn't mean she can't have red hair. That, it's not like she's not going to wear a wig anyway.
There you go. There you fucking go. And then also, that shade of fire truck syphilis rash red mm-hmm. doesn't exist biologically on anyone's fucking head. So, like, wrong excuse. Like, literally, that, like, it's a very, like, straight out of the bottle kind of red.
Now, if there's this much anger and frustration and racism and, you know, madness in the casting of The Little Mermaid, what about the casting of Ursula the Sea Witch? Who's going to play that role?
Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, that's an interesting choice.
I mean, she doesn't really need to sing for this one. She can just kind of yell and smoke because, mm-hmm. like, she's getting towards that end of her divahood. I feel like
I want a thick and juicy gospel singer. You know, somebody who would really make heaven and hell come to life.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Okay. I want to fear her. I don't want to be, you know, somebody I love.
You're trying to bring out like a whining sister.
It's gonna be an A-list Hollywood celebrity.
Of course.
I feel like Queen Latifah is too likable to be the Sea Witch.
And she has a good singing voice, but she doesn't have that voice.
You want someone who is a threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You want someone who is
a she-devil. They say that the character was based on Divine, the drag queen, so maybe.
Latrice! Latrice!
Have you heard Latrice sing?
I don't need to.
No, you don't.
No, yeah.
I love her. But, you know, maybe Harvey Fierstein.
Oh, my God.
He's too unfortunate. He's too likable. I want someone who
It's called acting. Exactly. So you act like you're evil.
And we owe Harvey the world. That mm-hmm. man.
Like, Divine was mm-hmm. somebody who you do not want to fuck with.
Mm-hmm. No.
You were worried that she was going to mm-hmm. turn on
and
you.
And remember,
like that.
Ursula is also suffering under the patriarchy just like everybody else.
And the weight of a giant ass.
Oh, it's you think they're going to make her sympathetic?
Well, no, but it's just like, didn't she have some kind of weird deal with the dad? Isn't the dad like the one who cursed her or something?
Oh, Triton.
Yeah.
You know, Terry Crews wants to play Triton.
Terry Crews should play Ursula. put on like a nice little short white wig, spike it up at the top. Well, he'll look like his wife.
They're slapping his face on everything these days. It's crazy.
The Me Too movement, Little Mermaid, fucking everything.
Yeah.
I'm for Terry Crews in drag. That would actually be fun.
Oh, yeah. I would also
all jacked up sea mermaid.
I would also be down just like meet him in a video booth. Like, I don't need him to act for me.
Terry Crews is a tender lover. I just imagine that.
I don't want tenderness. I want spit, fingers and blood.
He'll like pick you up and throw you around.
I don't think he seems like a very intelligent, very kind, very compassionate person.
So
and a great comedian.
Nobody wants that shit.
That's why I married you.
Exactly. Here we are.
So trying.
And then Fausto's just making loving eyes at the dog, and then we're all just confused.
Diversity. Diversity. Different kind of fishes in the sea.
He sings that every time I walk into his apartment, audience. I need you to know that. Every time I enter the studio.
I want to be part of the white man's world.
Can't relate.
That would be an interesting film. I'm looking
forward
to it.
That's what Ariel's going to be singing if we have her with White Prince Eric, because you know they're going to get probably that Timothée Chalamet or whatever, that little skinny faggot from Call Me By Someone's Nickname or whatever that movie was called.
Eric doesn't even sing in this song. Does he at all?
He's so you just think Timothée Chalamet from Call Me By Your Name with Who Fucked the Peach is going to be romantically paired with
probably Hallie because they're trying because they're you know they want to give him like a bisexual fan base. Little girls and little boys can both beat their little clits to him. Because Hollywood is about what's going to make a 12-year-old masturbate. Mm-hmm. That's like literally all anyone thinks about. It's preposterous.
I would like to see you in a corporate meeting. Okay, what are these kids going to masturbate?
Basically, it's like, okay, if you wanted to fall in love with this shit, when's he going to get his dick out? 20 minutes and not 40. Like, you got to have priorities.
The other thing, too, that's important about The Little Mermaid is that Howard Ashman, who's considered one of the greatest songwriters, mm-hmm. who tragically died of AIDS during the development of Aladdin.
Mm-hmm. He made it to the 90s.
This was his film that, you know, sort of brought back Disney's golden age of animation. Mm-hmm. So this is a very important film for Disney. I think they're doing the right thing by casting somebody mm-hmm. who has an amazing voice. And I think it's going to be a very interesting story. And I hope that they add layers to it and not, you know, oversimplify it.
Totally. And I mean, especially like coming after the month we just got off of, like, you know, give this gay man's vision. Like, it's true. It's true.
And, you know, Howard Ashman, he was no stranger to, you know, big dick energy, honey.
Not at all. Not at all.
And how was your pride?
How was my pride?
Pride parade.
I celebrated pride by having gay sex like you're supposed to.
Okay.
I wasn't out in the street waving a sign. I had my dick out. That was my flag. That was my float. I had everything I needed.
Well, all right.
Yeah, there you go. There you
and
go.
How did you celebrate Pride Month?
You know, we did the parade, but I want to do a shout out to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. There's some video going around of them shutting down some anti-gay hate rhetoric at the San Francisco Pride with their fans. Now, I know everybody's sick of fans and having the flash, but this is put to a good use.
Like the grab that one here. Oh, yes. So we're going to go to recreation. So it's okay.
No gay sex. Off your
shit.
Put
I'm breaking it.
That kind of thing.
Mm.
Yeah, I could do it with both.
Okay. Double fist it for the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Oh, this one's broken. Hold on.
That's why I couldn't do it. People are listening to this with earphones on, you cocksucker.
That's why we have compression. I'm the audio engineer of this show. Damn it.
You try.
I can fix things.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at me skeptical.
I trust no one.
I had a fantastic time at Pride meeting people face to face.
You looked like you were having an amazing time.
I was dressed as a butterfly. I made it to the news. I made a lot of new friends. That's all that matters.
Proud of you.
Some people like a challenge. I do not.
I'm so happy you're like positive and like out there and meeting people, and I'm just like negative in a corner. You know,
well, that's why we're good together on this podcast, because we complement each other.
When we are together, we're happy together, and life is a song. Yes. See, that was
okay, Grey Gardens.
There you go. There you go. Jessica Lange taught me everything I know.
And that's the thing about it is if you, we live in a world that's full of darkness, full of, you know, 49% of Americans approve of Trump's performance right now.
Really?
As president.
I thought the poll numbers were like 20-something. What happened?
Last I saw was 37.
Well, I mean, it's
almost
re-election.
Half of Americans are, and so, you know, it's fucking nightmare.
But why do you believe any of those polls? Because if
let's just put a significant amount of people, despite this monster being in charge, are supporting this man.
I don't trust that the information that's put in front of me is real, because if they bought the last election, if they bought Facebook, if they bought everything else, all the numbers I'm seeing right now are bullshit too. And they can buy this election just like they bought the last one.
And people who dislike Trump are standing around kind of aimlessly. Mm-hmm. Think about like Nancy Pelosi, or think about Democrats in Texas are allowing on their land, in their watch, concentration camps to be established, to kids to be murdered and raped, and their bodies tossed
and
in the
mass graves.
And then
there's Nancy Pelosi on fucking CNN like an asshole. Oh, Trump's just not worth it. All those little kids are, you stupid bitch. Like, honestly. Like,
I'm hoping that she has a strategy and that she's just not, she's holding her cards close to her.
Oh, so. I don't buy any of that
but
shit.
You're not buying
I don't buy any of that shit. But so I've loved Nancy for 15 years.
The
I've
reason I bring all this up is because of the Pride Parade, meeting people, our community, face to face, and seeing the goodness in so many different kinds of people, and touching and hugging and celebrating our LGBTQ diversity, and meeting like, you know, people who shiver and are thrilled and happy to interact with somebody dressed up as a butterfly. Mm-hmm. I think that gives me faith in humanity. And we need that.
I think it's going to take a little bit more than a smile and a hug, but we're starting somewhere.
Honey, you need as a creative, sensitive, young, queer man, you need to seek experiences that are going to bring back your faith in humanity. You can't, like, and it's not watching Madonna videos of being a love revolution.
I disagree. I think that 1991 tour will bring a lot of people's, like, faith in art right back to the forefront.
Did you see Madonna's latest video?
I don't know if anyone did. They're all so blurry.
Madame X pays tribute to the Pulse
Massacre. So it's a disco song, and she's doing a disco song, and then people are getting like shot up in this club, and then she gets shot, she's on the floor, and then she's doing the Hustle and like the 70s
retro. But she's there to save all the gays.
I don't know what's going on.
I love this.
But it's so over the top, and it's so crazy. It's so in bad taste, but it's also, you know what I mean?
I love
nobody
this.
Else is making a statement no. about this in their music.
Oh, like, can like I can I tell, way, can I tell you a know? Real life true story? Okay, yeah. Not 2 weeks, not even making a fucking joke. When I was like a senior in high school and that happened, 2 weeks afterwards, I remember tweeting Jackie Beat and telling her that she should do Fernando by ABBA to the tune of Orlando. She'd figure it out. Still hasn't happened.
She's working on
Orlando. It could happen anytime. Yes. We're waiting.
And part of it is like, you know, Madonna, and like all great art, shows you things you didn't think you needed to see.
But okay, do we have to refer to Madonna's great art?
Once you see it, you realize this is really interesting. And seeing Madonna shot dead with blood splatter on her face is the kind of image
that brings peace to a lot of people.
Well,
Sandra Bernhardt is smoking a cigarette with a smile on her face somewhere in New York right now. Just, oh. Yes.
I opened that door for you and thank you for walking in.
Thank you.
And part of me is like, you know, I do like seeing, because Madonna is always the queen of reinvention, and she just, every time she, in quotations, reinvents herself, it's just one lavish package of another. And I think like blood splattered death is an interesting way to reinvent yourself.
I think it's amazing that it took her till like 62 to finally realize that real was going to get him.
Yeah.
Like, I love how it took her like 35 years in the business to be like, yep, yeah, maybe I should just be real and get them where their emotions are at instead of bullshit. Like, revolutionary. Who would have thought?
I did see a little girl who was looking at a photo of Madonna with her eye patch, and she said to her dad, is like, Daddy, why is that lady wearing an eye patch? He's like, because she's pretending to be a pirate.
Well, she might be.
Did she lose her eye underneath it?
Could you imagine like a buddy pirate movie, buddy pirate comedy with Johnny Depp and Madonna? Mm-hmm. Like they're both taking over the seven seas. They're both fucking everybody. Because mm-hmm. she's like bisexual when there's a camera on her.
What's the name of that movie with Hervé Villachez where he plays King Fausto in the Forbidden Zone? So there's this art film that had a lot of performance artists in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
That, I don't know who made it, but it's in black and white. You can watch it on YouTube.
Ooh, fun.
And it has Hervé Villachez, you know, boss, the plane. And he plays a tyrant king in some phantoms, you know, some mystical world mm-hmm. where nothing makes sense. And part of it is like, what's fun is that it has like celebrities in it doing all sorts of fucked up shit, you know. And
I love
it. And you get to the Forbidden Zone by basically going through an intestinal tract and then you get shit out into the Forbidden Zone.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. That's like that one Harvey Fierstein play from the 70s where the curtains was a pussy and he'd walk out, there'd be a giant pop, and he'd say, that is my complete and total statement to the press.
what?
Yeah.
Did this really happen?
It completely used to happen. Go.
I'll look for it.
I love Harvey. Harvey's like our history.
Yeah, he was one of the first like out drag queens in mainstream media news.
And
yeah.
past being a drag queen in mainstream media, this was a man for all the gay kids who are fucking listening to right now who yeah. have any ambition. This was a man who was a writer. He wrote plays and he got them produced. He wrote for movies and he got them produced. He made shit happen. Every play he's ever been on Broadway, he edited the book inside and out to make it funny. That is a man who has a mainstream skill called being a genius writer and then is so fucking good at it, he can take that weird thing that he is to it everywhere he goes and people will accept it. But it's because he's genius first, not because he's gay or a drag queen first.
It's a and great, I don't know if you've seen the interview with Barbara Walters.
Yes, yes.
And he's like explaining homosexuality to Barbara.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, what is sex? I'm like you're a stranger to that.
Oh, yeah, because you know she's cheated on every husband she's ever had.
She in her memoir, she was trying to developing a romantic relationship with Fidel Castro or something.
Oh, I'm sure. She probably heard like that 10-year plan with all the grain, and she just got so excited.
Her pussy got all wet.
I know, right?
Well, she was raised around celebrities. Her dad owned a club in New York City, and all the celebrities would perform there. So she's like, she knew everybody.
Did you know that Barbara Walters' father is actually Abraham? Like, her father's the first Jew. Like,
she's not that old.
She is close.
She taught us a very important lesson. She had a book called Audition. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, every job that she ever had, everything she ever did, it was always an audition. It was always for the next thing. So you always wanted to be good at what you're doing and say yes to things.
Well, a part of it is that there's always a struggle in entertainment and show business and media and the creative arts. And part of that creative struggle is just seeking people's approval.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to find peace in that dynamic in order to make it commercially. when you're so the idea is that you're always going to be auditioning for your entire life. For the, like, even right now for our audience, the audience is like, well, what is this feast of fun? It's not that
much. Because there's a new listener right now.
Is it? It's not that much of a feast. I wouldn't call it a feast of fun. I would call it maybe a snack of pleasantness.
This is like a buffet of pleasantries.
It's more like a morsel.
There you go. There you go. It's
a I'm treat. Starving for fun.
I need it somewhere.
And we shall give it to you in abundance.
Anything you want, that's the way you need it.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do. Do you guys remember who Casey Spooner is from the pop duo Fisher Spooner?
Yes.
Okay.
A little they bit had before a hit your time.
Called Emerge in 2001, and they were sort of at the beginning of the internet age. They were very popular with bloggers and queer people and sort of like countercultural figure. And part of his whole idea was that he was going to parody pop music and his act as a pop musician. And so, you know, he did his album. It was, I think it was a pretty good album. And then his second album was done by with the lady who did What's Going On. What's her name again?
She married Sarah Gilbert, right?
Yes. But I have no idea what her name
is. Sarah Gilbert's married to a musician. Then why is she so lame?
Because she's Sarah Gilbert.
I fucking guess. Oh, she just looks like she has not been in a good mood since she cast her last Roseanne residual. Like, she's just, like, had that straight face. And, like, she has one of those, like, empty smiles. She might as well not have any fucking teeth. What? Like, she has never smiled in so long. You could just take all them out, just, like, by the gums.
So, Linda Perry.
Yes.
Linda Perry.
Linda Perry's married to Sarah Gilbert.
Yes.
The fuck?
I think so, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I thought Sarah Gilbert was married to, like, a writer or something.
You're thinking of Linda Barry. The cartoonist.
Okay. There you go.
So anyway, Linda Perry, is she married to him?
Yes. They have a baby together.
They have a baby together.
So her wife's like 58?
I don't know.
That's wild.
I don't know. I'm not her biographer. I'm just talking about. So anyways, Casey Spooner issued a video from Fire Island when he was on vacation.
No one goes on vacation, Fire Island.
saying, I'm running for president in 2020. He may have been high on something.
Possibly. One would imagine.
He said, I don't expect to win, duh, but I do expect to make a difference. As a working artist, the only way I know how to deal with our current political crisis is to go towards the problem, not away from it. I've been complacent in the past. No more. My own complacency has been a product of my white privilege combined with my distrust of the political system and by never having felt an intimate threat to me or my lifestyle. I've never got involved that and now.
And so he's never cared.
He's not
about
even
politics.
Registered to vote. You know, just by the way he fucking wrote that, he wouldn't even know where to find a ballot box.
You mean it's in my neighborhood? I thought I had to go downtown.
Girl. Yeah, no, none of that.
It's like, this is the frustration I have when people have zero political views, zero interest in political service, announce they're running for the top position in one of the most powerful and bloodthirsty and ruthless nations in the world.
Ask him who the fuck the mayor of his hometown is. He couldn't tell you.
Do like George Takei. Run for city council or something.
Or just go for a run. Start there. Like, just go around the goddamn block before you try and boss everyone else around. Fuck.
Later on, he went to protest a circuit party that was prison themed.
He's starting at the top. The high priority is, you guys have to let us, I mean me, in for all the free coke. Like, what the fuck?
So he stood outside. He wrote a and this is kind of an interesting notion.
It was prison theme, but there were no black people, so it wasn't a real circuit party.
He wrote on cardboard, black and brown people are systematically incarcerated for profit. This is not satire. And I do appreciate that.
I don't
sentiment that's coming from at some point in his career, he could have had an amazing impact because the world was paying attention to him. And he is somebody I actually went to school with. I actually sat in a classroom for a whole semester with Casey Spooner. We studied experimental audio together at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago.
So it's just Wyma Sumac, just like in the background, just
Matthew Valentine was also in that class with me. Okay. So some, you know, I had some
solid people.
And then I was like, wow, these guys are really financially well off and they're going to be huge stars. And here I am doing a podcast, which, listen, this is, everybody has their own path. And And I thought
some people have it paid for them by their parents.
Mm. And I don't know what his circumstances. He says that he came from nothing.
Modest means.
Modest means.
But a small loan of $1 million.
Some people don't know what modest is.
No, no.
And he's definitely had some really amazing opportunities in his life. And he's had he has like, what is it? 100,000 people following him.
How many people have donated to his campaign so far?
7.
And this is the thing, like, you know, Ronnie Kroll from Make Me a Supermodel, who was on the cover of Playgirl. This year, he's also running for
president.
The
entire planet's seen his asshole, and he wants to be president. Mm-hmm. I got some questions. I have some. I don't think we're going to get through our vetting process.
And there's a difference between a black drag queen in 1992 saying, "We can lick Bush," and sneaking into the Democratic convention, Joan Jett Black.
Yes.
We had her on the show last week. Go see Miss Black for President at the Steppenwolf Theater to learn about her story. There's a huge difference between somebody running for president as a political, as a performance art statement in 1992 and in 2019, two white gay men, cisgender gay men, who both have had very successful respective careers. Now that they're not in the public eye, trying to get back into the public eye by running for president.
But they think they're Marsha P. Johnson. You have to understand, his white ass genuinely believes, like, someone threw the first brick at Stonewall right in his eye. So, like, him doing this is, like, this great big deal. They see no distinction. They see no difference between Joan Jett Black literally going to the absolute limit of what was, like, socially or, like, physically something safe to do in public versus them running their mouths on Instagram.
Well, and I think, Joan Jett Black also, too, is very important to say that she did it with the full support of Queer Nation. You know, she had a group of people that were all activists working with her to make this kind of thing happen.
It was more Queer Nation's idea alongside with her. Right. And they were like, let's have somebody who's very marginalized, who's very edgy, who's very intelligent, who's very politically active to be involved in running for president. These are entertainers who never, ever, ever have, you know, Ronnie Kroll has a gorgeous dick, and Casey Spooner probably has a gorgeous dick and, you know, has a really great hit song emerge. You can watch it on YouTube. But in terms of politics, they were apolitical.
And also, too, remember Joan Jett Black, the first office she ran for was for office of mayor of Chicago.
So
and,
even you know, then, so she could have been the first black lesbian. Fuck Lori Lightfoot.
I know, right?
Could have happened.
When we went to see Ms. Black for president, Lori Lightfoot was in the audience.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I hope she had the Jewish wife and the mixed baby. I hope she had the whole family.
The wife was there. I think the baby was there.
I mean, she's like 14. She's old enough for it.
So maybe she was. I don't know. So Ronnie is trying to raise $150,000 for his presidential campaign. So
you mean
far.
He's trying to raise under $50,000 to get rid of his credit card debt? This is a fucking scam. So, I don't buy it.
And so he's raised $7,158.
And he can't even make the minimum.
Girl, I can't even get 25 people on Patreon.
You know what's funny too? It's like he grew up in this neighborhood. His mom told me, I asked, you know, I was like, oh, you're Swedish? She's like, no, I'm Norwegian. So, you know, he's Norwegian too, since, you know, he's the son. I talked to Roddy. I'm like, oh, hey, I was on this Norwegian reality TV show. You know, you should check it out. You know, I think it might be a fun project for you to get on. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, that's very interesting. And then like 3 weeks later, he announces his run for president. I'm like, well, I guess he's not going to be on offer in Orga.
Like, okay, he's not following in my footsteps anymore. We got it. We got it. You're your own fucking person. Okay, clear.
It's tough. I understand show business tough. You need money to do stuff. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of money making this podcast happen. Mm-hmm. We are eternally grateful for the people who choose to support us, even if it's a dollar. Kevy, say Kevy on Patreon, Aline, David, Mark, Charles, and Chris. They all became supporters on Patreon, patreon.com/feastthefund this week.
Thank you all so much.
And, you know, part of it is because I posted pictures of myself at the gym flexing my guns.
Well, I did message those people that said, if you become a Patreon, Fosso won't post any more photos like that.
And then there you go. Just like they gave their money away. They're just like, no more of this shit. Oh, my God. You want my house? Like, just whatever it took.
I'm just kidding. You look real good there, sweetie.
Part of me, I'm just like, so I have a friend of mine who is he's a heterosexual bodybuilder, Instagram hunk.
But he's basically thick for a living.
He enjoys building muscle. He enjoys flexing his biceps. He's heterosexual. He's always complaining. He's always complaining about how some girl's doing him wrong. on Facebook. And I said to him, I was like, Thomas, just go gay. You'll be fine.
Every single time a guy I went to high school with posts that Facebook status about their girlfriend of 3 years left them and like, oh, they just don't know what they're going to do. It's like, if you just let me suck your dick sophomore year of high school, like I'd asked, we'd both be in a completely different place right now.
Amen.
Should have just let me eat your booty hole when we were 17. But no, you like women and have a preference.
Listen, as people who have had our other people's desires and ideas of what our sexuality should be like, as queer people, we need to respect someone who decides to be who comes out as heterosexual and cisgender.
But sometimes when people have ideas about my sexuality, they have good ideas, like that I should fuck them. So, like, I don't know.
We need to respect people's decisions on their sexuality. So, he starts showing, he says he's working in a gay bar, and I said, what is it you're doing at this gay bar? Are you a bartender? Are you a bouncer? Are you...
He's a go-go boy, isn't he?
He just says, he just stands around and flexes his biceps.
That's all he has to do?
And so I said, prove it. He sends me a video of him flexing his biceps, and then I go on you know, because the internet, it's all interconnected, they start showing me videos of him muscle worship. Like,
this is why straight people don't think we're real, because in the gay world, that's a real fucking job. Okay.
And so I asked
Thomas, explain that to an accountant.
I asked Thomas, I was like, how much are you I didn't ask him how much he was making. He shared that with me. He's making some good coin from 6 5-minute videos. And here we are killing ourselves, creating a whole television series on less money than that, you know? And so I was just thinking, I was like, man, maybe I should get into muscle worship videos myself.
It's you should do something.
But see, these are guys in their, this is a young man's game, and I'm, you know, ARP sending me stuff.
Hey, everyone loves a daddy.
And I'm wondering what if I should do this.
And you can double your market because you can do them in English and in Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
Mis músculos están creciendo.
How do you say muscle worship in Spanish?
I have no idea. Alegría de los músculos. I have no idea.
Translate. Google Translate. Save me.
How do you say worship?
Servicios.
Muscle worship.
Muscle service.
Yo amo a tus brazos.
Adoración muscular.
Okay, there you are. There you are.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I.
Foster's available for private adoration of the muscles,
and well, he'll be flexing his glutes in alleys all over Chicago.
All my straight friends that are into all this stuff that do this, they're like, it's great because you don't have to have sex, you don't have to do anal or show off your dick. Because I feel like there's some lines I don't want to cross. You know,
but these can't relate.
These guys jerk off though while they
do. No, they don't. They don't. Well, I mean, they can jerk off, but you don't have to.
For you to not jerk off, you'd have to pretend to be straight, and you couldn't do that ever. You haven't been able to do that since the 80s, bitch.
I was like, this is a career move, you know?
Okay, can I
want to know from the listeners, is this a good idea, or is this a truck? Is a five-car pileup waiting to happen?
If you want to see Fausto lift up, like, spoons in both of his hands and pretend they're really fucking heavy, if you want to see him force the muscles, not engage them anyway, there's no barbell, there's nothing heavy involved. If you just want to see him pick up a ballpoint pen and grunt, please follow them on Patreon, patreon.com/feastoffun.
You can't do Patreon. I've looked into it. You can't do Patreon. You have to do one of those, like, sleazy sites.
Oh, you can't do videos on Patreon?
You can, but you can't do, what is it?
Muscle worship?
You can't do things
that's in the laws and regulations.
Yeah, but muscle worship is not. That's PG.
Okay, if all those fat women who just eat for guys have Patreons, then you should be able to do your muscles mukbang on Patreon.
How about balloon sitting?
How about if I do a mukbang muscle worship video, so I get to eat. And
so you can flex your arms and then show them your distended stomach. It's a combo. I love it. I love it.
I can combine my love for eating things with my love for lifting things.
There you go.
And do some balloon sitting.
And so I just talked to another friend of mine, and he said that he makes a ton of money. He's completely serious about this. Mm-hmm. He meets two or three clients and he goes to their house and he's like a dominatrix.
Yeah.
Only all he does is yell at them while they're eating a cake.
Oh, sign me the fuck up now.
I'm like, this is my dream job.
I've seen Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'll pull some Susie Green shit on a motherfucker in 5 minutes.
So he has to go please to a bakery, bring the cake, And one client he puts birthday candles on it. And every time he goes there, he's celebrating their birthday like he's like a 10-year-old, you know? Uh-huh. And then he's like, I can't believe you're eating that cake, you little fucker, you know? He's like,
oh, and then it's like full on, just eat the cake, you fat fuck. Let's see if you make it to the end of it.
Oh, yeah, all of it.
If you puke that out, you're going to have to eat it all up again.
I thought you like cream cheese ice cream, you little shit.
Oh, yes, it'd be fabulous.
I think we found our career path here.
But, or you could just date a fat guy. You could always do that. That's always an option.
Yeah, but will he pay you?
Yeah, it's about money. It's about a career.
I mean, part of dating someone is getting shit paid for. So, I mean,
so if you can
be broke
about
by yourself.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone,
yes,
got their starts as muscle worship.
Yes.
Maybe we could get our start in show business by being a sadomasochistic
Dom tops
who yell at people who want to eat cakes.
Basically, because like I was always taught growing up that being a whore was bad and being an artist was good. But nowadays it's backwards. So let's go ahead and whip people and eat cake. Like, I don't care. Whatever's up.
I've finally combined my love for making money with my love of yelling at people.
Yes. Yes. Getting paid to scream would be fabulous.
Have you seen those muscle worship videos on YouTube?
No, I don't like men who look like that. So I don't pay attention to it.
They pitch shift their voices. Okay. And there's this one guy who does the video who my friend Thomas is a part of his network. Mm-hmm. He's like, I am puny. I am strong man. And you are so puny. He can barely speak English. He's from like
full Austria,
Eastern Europe or something. He's like,
he's from Chernobyl.
I am going to crush you like a bug with my big biceps. And you're just like, it's impossible. It's like you turn off the volume because you can't masturbate. Mm-hmm.
And there's another big guy who he does a lot of videos online where he just like, you know, he kind of like beats up these guys. Like, mm-hmm, he doesn't have sex with them.
It's just like a snuff film.
He just pushes them down on the bed.
That's the same guy.
That's the same guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he has this crazy voice, and you just can't take him seriously because he's taking himself so seriously.
Because it's like Boris Karloff doing like Frankenstein from 1931. It's
ridiculous. And he's gorgeous. I mean, physically, he's stunning, but his voice is like, and I'm wondering if I could just parody that.
Well,
and for money.
But I don't understand why people think the voice is like a turnoff or it's ridiculous. Because like one of my favorite things about sleeping with like people who are from other countries or are immigrants is like the fact that in the heat of the moment you're trying to be sexy and hot, so you'll say shit that doesn't even fucking sound right, but it's funny.
Like,
as
what
well.
Are you gonna say?
Like, there was this one time I was hooking up with this guy who was from Syria for a little bit, and
you're
like,
joking?
No, dead ass serious. Like, not
wait
ISIS,
a minute.
No ISIS bomber, no nothing. Okay. Like
Syrian,
yeah. Syria,
you're serious.
Okay. Like, I'm serious. He was from Syria. Like, rock up.
Was he a Turkey?
I know the first guy ever let fuck me in the ass was from Turkey, though. Oh. I like Arabs, but that's a different situation. Anyway,
you just got Afghanistan by your man.
I'm gonna throw something at you, Jesse. Bite. Well,
I'll
run
away.
Attack your father. Attack your father. What the fuck are we even talking about? You interrupt me 15 times.
We're talking
times.
About the
your Syrian boyfriend.
So yes, this is the thing. We live in an age where you can hook up for sex with somebody,
yes,
mm-hmm, and you can explore your identity. You know, people are exploring their gender identity, mm-hmm, their sexual identity. You can also explore how you present your voice. And sometimes you can be like, hey, this is muscle worship, Alex.
I'm here to be,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can butch it up. What kind of crazy fucked up shit are you telling this guy?
I wouldn't say fucked up shit to me. He would say fucked up shit back to me because
he didn't
speak English like that. So like the second time we ever hooked up, like he was jerking me off.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh yeah, you like that? You're going to bust your nuts? And I'm like, yeah, both of them. Both of them right now.
I was seeing this Iraqi guy on the side and he didn't speak English too well.
Yeah.
He would fuck me. He'd be like, take it, you bitch. Take it, you bitch. And I thought to myself, because you know he doesn't speak English as well, like, does he say that to everyone, or does he just really know me?
Take
really
it, you
well?
Bitch. He knows you. He knows you.
Okay, Carrie Bradshaw.
Yes. There's some wild shit going on over there. They drink piss in their morning tea. They'll do whatever you need
they
with
do?
Them. I mean, one or two. If they really love you. If
a
they really
drop.
Love you.
Well, what I like about the Middle Eastern men is they have a lot of respect for older men.
They have a lot of respect for older men, and they're also very direct with how they feel about you. Because, like, in black culture, we don't do that.
No?
We go through that whole, like, talking phase of, like, seeing if we like somebody for, like, months before we commit. Like, an Arab guy will walk up to me like, you are my wife now. And I'm like, I am. I am. You're right, Tariq. You, sir. I'm in.
Do you know that story about Eartha Kitt, how she went to Turkey and she had to be in the country for like 2 months because she couldn't leave?
Because these men just wanted her.
I think it was a sultan or
some of her jewels, right?
It was a Turkish royal sent a bunch of jewels to her dressing room. As a marriage proposal, but she didn't realize what they were. She just thought they were costume jewelry.
Yeah,
so she put them on real. And she wore them on stage. She's like, "Don't I look fantastic?" And so, you know, she kept the jewels because she thought they were costume jewelry. And she goes to the airport and the customs official's like, "I'm sorry, Miss Kitt, you cannot leave the country. You are married to the Sultan of whatever in Turkey."
Yeah.
And she says, "What do you mean? I never met this man. I don't know what they're talking about." Mm-hmm. She was forced to stay in Turkey because she wore some jewelry in public, and that meant she accepted his marriage proposal.
No, fun fact, it's both like in like North Africa and like here, there is this thing about like Arab American Muslim men have this deep, deep in their spirit fetish over Black American pussy. It's wild that like it's very repeated. I see it all the fucking time.
Nicki Minaj is going to Saudi Arabia.
There you go. Because they don't want to marry her because she's an infidel. She's not Muslim. She's not clean. She's not safe. Mm-hmm. She's not a white. But like they know that's where the best pussy on the earth lives, and like they're not wrong.
Freaky pussy.
There you go. But like I'm being dead ass serious. Like Osama bin Laden had the biggest crush in the world on Whitney Houston. He wanted to have Bobby Brown killed.
That's right.
Like a lot of Arab men. It's this thing because Black women that like are there. It's Sudan. It's Somalia. Mm-hmm. It's like they're very Muslim women that are Black women. So then to get the complete opposite of like that American freedom, they're just like, "Oh, I want to beat you." Ass and jerk off at the same time. It's very bad.
What is the thing is like Western culture is racist culture and it's so predominant and everywhere that we forget that there's other ways of looking at race and
no, it's not like that. No, Arabs invented colonization. Don't say that. They invented it.
But they have a different way of looking at it than we do. It's not the exact
same.
They
think they're white. Yeah, that's the only difference. Arab people think they're white and them and up is white. That's the only difference.
For example, in Brazil.
Don't act like it's open and friendly and sweet.
In Latin America and Brazil, no one will admit to being Black.
No.
Nobody thinks they're
They'll
Black.
Admit to fucking their cat before they'll tell you their grandpa's Black.
And part of it is like in organizing for civil rights in Latin America, it's a tricky thing because everybody thinks, well, I'm tan, I'm dark, I got a lot of melanin, but I'm not Black.
Well, because like, you know, you're making me think of a friend now specifically because I was going to say with the younger generation, it's changed a little bit.
It's definitely, people are happy to organize for civil rights. People are happy to take racism head on, but it's been a long time coming.
Because, like, for example, my friend Jessica, she's Colombian and not like her family's from Colombia. Like, her ass came here and she was 16 with everybody. And, like, she does not look like a Black woman and she does not say that she's Black, but because her mom is pure Colombian and then her dad's half Black and half Colombian. And so, like, we're just getting to know each other and she will, like, show each other a picture of her family or whatever, or, like, she'll show me a cousin or whatever. And she'll be like, "Oh, yeah, my dad's family's Black as fuck." And then just move on because it's not that big of a deal. It's like she's a quarter of it. She knows she's not carrying it with her, but it's like in her.
And I think that's important to sort of, you know, understand too. I'm wrapping this up with Little Mermaid. It's like these films are made for an international audience.
Yes.
And not everybody sees things the same way. And I think, you know, I think diversity is actually a really important thing in every aspect in life, not just in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your social life, in your romantic life, but it's also in your films and television shows you watch.
Totally. And I mean, it doesn't even have to be international. Doesn't even have to be that far away from you. The Little Mermaid was my white sister's absolute favorite Disney movie when she was growing up. And now she's like an adult woman with an adopted daughter who's Black. And then they're going to get to go see Little Mermaid together. Aww. And it's going to be both of their favorite thing because it still looks like them and it's still their story and they have their both different sides of it. So,
and you know who we can thank for all this? Frances McDormand.
There you go. There you are.
Diversity writer.
Inclusion writer. She said, if you are a big star and you're getting signed up to a project, you can force the studio to start casting people that are reflecting the community at large. And that is what Beyonce did in getting Disney.
That's what somebody said to us.
That's what we heard.
Because she's doing something with The Lion King, right? And so she's also mentoring this alley, right? So she, you know, is producing her music. And so I'm sure that she's just like, you want me for Lion King? How about her for this? And because I'm getting a cut of that too.
You want Beyonce, you gotta get diversity. And that's thanks to Beyonce.
Those inclusion writers make me feel weird, because it's like, I would feel so uncomfortable knowing that the only reason I have a job is because someone richer put a gun up to the studio's head. I would feel very uncomfortable and unwelcome and like I wasn't wanted there.
A part of it is, it's a little bit of both. It's, you know,
it's opening your eyes.
Diversity is something you want to fight for. It's something you want to create policy for, because it's very easy to try to hire people that are similar to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, very easy. You know, to films,
have a boys club or a white people.
Yeah.
Club,
I see this in the workplace. I see this in jobs that I've had. I see this in theater companies. It's like people like to hire their own friends, you know, and part of it is like when it comes to social networks, if all your friends kind of look like you. Like if we go to your Facebook page and you look at photos of you and your friends and they all are indistinguishable versions of you, then you probably have some, you know, issues that you might want to talk about with a therapist with.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, racism is a form of mental illness.
We're getting kind of deep, and we need to end this podcast.
Honey. So
it's a systematic oppression, right?
It's a systematic oppression, and it's something that it's like it's not for the oppressed to try to solve.
But people that you do meet that are very, very racist and openly racist usually often come off as crazy. You're right.
Yeah, it's Trump supporters. I mean, come on, people. It's like they think they're the world is flat.
Let's end on a nice note.
Yeah. Well, you go for it.
Yeah, since you have all the positive ideas in this bitch, what's your Rebecca Sunnybrook Farm attitude? Let me know. Are you dancing in a sundress, Mark? Tell me.
It's Pollyanna, bitch. Okay. Listen, well, you just have.
Let's talk about something sexy.
Okay.
One of our listeners asked me, is it a bad idea to wear a cock ring all day long?
Yes.
Yes.
You'll pop all your nerves and veins and blood vessels and shit.
But I like wearing a cock ring all day
long. So you're telling me you're sitting at your job answering emails and you just don't want to come? Like, you're that worried about it all day long? You're always edging?
Well, it's like, I think it's like when you're wearing a cock ring and stuff, like, especially if you're just kind of like, you know, if you're going out for the night and stuff like that because you want it front and forward. I know a guy who wears a cock ring to the gym because he wants his dick to be, like, hanging out at the gym. So it's not even, like, a full-on hard-on or anything like that. But it fucks up with your circulation. Any doctor will tell you, do not wear a cock ring for extended periods of time.
No. Is an extended period of time?
You know, I don't know. They tell you not to, like, if you have an erection lasting 4 or more hours to go see a doctor, so maybe 4 or more hours.
Well, if you have a cock ring on for 4 hours and your dick's not purple, like, honestly, like, your dick has to look like a crushed grape by the end of that shit.
The thing about it, maybe there's a compromise. A lot of people don't know. They do sell underwear that, just like a push-up bra, it lifts and separates your dick.
I personally feel like if you want to lead with your dick, but you don't have a dick that wants to lead, maybe you should lead with another feature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have a 5-inch dick and that's all you got, maybe you should, like, work on being nice or getting your master's degree.
Or do lots of squats and get a nice booty.
Just something. Because, like, I have no ass, a big dick, and a bad attitude, and it all balances out somewhere in the universe.
Matt Brown, the ending we needed.
Thank you
for giving us a happy ending.
I want to remind folks, we can't do this podcast without you. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastofun.com/plus, because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen. Again, we also have our Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun, where you can see some Foster doing some muscle worship photos.
I'm putting some things, but not all of them there.
Okay.
Listen, why am I the only one who has to post content?
He has to save one or two to email to me.
Do you want to do some muscle posing with me after the podcast?
I would have to get a muscle. Give me a couple months. I'd have to work on something. Maybe we could contour it.
There is a meme on the internet. I'll never have muscles like a black man. Have you seen that?
Well, we are built better than everybody, but that's a different conversation. No, I haven't seen that meme.
That, you know, if you're part black, it's easier to build muscle.
Well, I mean, the reason why they chose West Africa instead of East Africa to get everyone from, in spite of, like, ease, it was also because that's where all the warriors were. That's where the big Kobe's 7'2" motherfuckers were. Like,
I think, you know, everybody has their own challenges, and it's like, we want to sort of, like, create spaces for everybody to be best.
I want to create space for Melania. Yeah, yeah.
And her nipples. Did you see her nipples on the 4th of July?
Oh, no, that's fabulous. I'll have to get into that.
They were just popping out, and everybody's like, hashtag be breast. I took a picture of the gym the other day. I'm like, oh my God, my nipples are popping out. I'm like, I feel like I'm doing Melania.
That's your new impression of her now?
Yeah,
you just walk into a room with your hard nipples and you just, like, move on.
You know, Melania Trump always talks like she's being fucked.
Well, I think she's just so used to it.
She is trying to
talk like these.
Them titties. Them titties.
Ooh, be breast.
Be breast.
There is one twink on Grindr right now who's like hoping you'll lactate. Just one.
I need some daddy milk.
Only one?
Well, that's a different one.
I'll show you a video after we get done with the podcast of a bodybuilder who lactates.
That's terrifying. Does it like projectile?
No, it just kind of squirts.
Hey guys, is this something you want to see us share on Patreon? Message us mail@feastoffun.com or hit us up on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at Feast of Fun. We do answer all your messages. Mm-hmm. If you have any problems with your subscriptions or getting any problems with downloading the podcast, just message us there and we'll help you.
Mm-hmm. There you go. If you guys just want to like send like, you know, random like dick hole pics. No, hole pics. Yeah.
You want the butt.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just feel like we should go straight into the pink. You know, we're going into 2020. There's an election coming up. Why fool around? If you're trying to send hole pics, they're at Matt Brown Comic on Instagram. And also, if you guys are trying to see me live and in person anytime, I'm going to be at Comedy Bar for most of the summer. Every Saturday in July, I'm going to be hosting their 11 p.m. show. We have burlesque and magic and a lot of fun gay shit. And then I'm going to be featuring there for a comic named Zach Martina from August 9th to the 11th. So there'll be 5 shows that weekend if you guys want to come out.
That's a comedy bar. I'm going to come. That's downtown
Comedy
Chicago.
Bar on the corner of Grand and LaSalle on the 3rd floor of Geno's East. You can get pizza, get drunk, and laugh. It's everything you need in one place.
Pizza, comedy at 11 o'clock, and Matt Brown. I'm there, baby.
Yeah, because if you do that, if like I'm hosting, you'll get your dick sucked afterwards in the bathroom. So like it's really like it might as well. Me. Oh. I mean, and then you're turned off. And then the whole thing. You know what? You know what?
We have plans, don't we?
You're just like, you know, I'll
Where's
go anywhere.
Where's that whistle?
I don't know where the whistle. Oh, here it is. Hold on.
Where's the whistle? Please don't suck my dick.
Who gives the blowjob?
I suck the dicks.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.